The Magi are a strange and curious bunch. Out of all the characters in the Bible, they are one of the ones I'd like to learn more about. You know, where they come from, how they know, what do they do? We have next to no information about them. All we have is what's characterized in today's Gospel from Matthew. But even then, with the scant information we have, they actually teach us a great deal. And so today what I want us to do is that I want us to sit at the feet of the Magi. I want us to learn some lessons from them, and to have them guide us to understand who God is and the importance of this day. So we start out. We start out with them looking at the stars. What are they looking for? Who are they? What are they doing? Well, in a sense, they're astrologers. They're people from the Far East who, in this kind of multifaceted pagan religion, are set aside as priest scholars to figure out what's going on in the sky and the world around them and interpret it so that they can predict for the king what's about to happen. That's their goal. So you find them staring at the stars. And if you know from the movie The Nativity Story, that you're in this kind of like stone observatory with books and scrolls all on the walls and this circular disk of water that reflects the stars so they can watch them as they swirl around. They're people looking. Namely, they are truth seekers. They're looking for the truth. They're trying to figure out the things of the time. And in this way, they teach us that the whole universe is imbued with the grace of God. God, the Creator, has made all these things that we may see in them His own will, His own ways. It's not a surprise that the Magi could look at the stars and see them. We would expect that. The God of all creation can make the stars do whatever He wants. And He did. So that they could see the sign and realize what was going on. The whole world, the whole universe, predicted the coming of Christ. So for us, we also have to see that. That as we wander through life and the things of the world, we may also realize that God is there, working through all of creation to teach us His ways, to guide us to see His will. Here are a few examples. The moon. We don't think much about the moon, but the moon has no light of its own. The only light it has is reflected from the sun. And yet that becomes a great image for us and for Mary. Mary has no glory of her own. Everything she has was reflected from the sun, imbued in her from the sun Himself. Just like the moon. The moon has no light of its own. It reflects that of the sun, and that's why it glows with such splendor. We too are the same way. We have no real glory of our own. Everything that really is glory in us is from the sun, who is part of us through the Eucharist, through grace, through baptism, being reflected out of us. So the moon becomes a great symbol of our own connection to God. How about the mustard seed? Jesus uses the parable of the mustard seed several times. And until 1990, when they changed the name, it was in the family called the Crucifae, the Christ, the cross bearers, because the petals, as well as the fruit, have a cross pattern on them. And so for centuries, they're called the cross bearers. So in his very example of the mustard seed, he's already telling us about his passion and death and resurrection. The whole universe is imbued with the grace of God, its creator. Our goal is to find it like the Magi. And they teach us that it's worth doing because then we know who God is. The second point the Magi teach us is they go on a journey. Quite a journey. After seeing the stars in the sky and seeing the signs, it probably took them 2 to 3 months to journey across from wherever east is and keep going across the desert till they reached Judea. In a similar vein, theologically, this is important. They, from the east, the rising sun, the land of the rising sun, teach us that they are witnesses to the resurrection. As Jesus rose in the east, so do they come from the east to witness to what is going to happen. The whole world shows forth it. But their journey is actually rather complicated. They have no idea where they're going. They stop in Judea because they think that's the right place, and then they have to ask directions. They don't know where to go from there. So their journey isn't one where they know the end point. It's one of exploration, one of adventure. The same thing for us. Our journeys as lives of faith are also ones of adventure. We know where our ultimate goal should be, which is heaven, but how we get there is quite manifold. We can go so many different directions as God leads us. That's what the Magi do. They're being led by the star. They're being led by God's grace, even if they don't get it, to reach that final point where they see the Christ child. That is their goal, to see the King. Is that not our goal as well? This means that we also have to be open to the will of God. These people who had no expression, no understanding of God, no understanding of Jewish history, Jewish law, allow themselves to be led by God they didn't even know. And by doing so, had quite an experience. An experience that leads to the third point. Here they are. They finally meet the Christ child. And what is their experience? Their experience is one of great joy. That's not where I want to focus. I want to focus on a very subtle detail. They prostrated themselves and they worshipped him. That's quite a detail. Remember, these are pagan people who worshipped deities and were priests. So in that way, what were they thinking? Were they thinking it's another god of their pantheon? No. Probably not. Think about their experience. They brought special gifts. They told us a lot about who God is, what they experienced. Gold for the king, frankincense, because he's a priest like them. And then myrrh, because his death would be significant. They see this as something very different than what they were used to. And their experience and their actions show that. They prostrated themselves. Head to the floor, bow down and worship. You do that to kings. So we know they had a kingly experience of him. But then they also did him homage, like a god or a king. They left realizing they had encountered someone of great importance. So great of an importance that they defied King Herod. I'm sure that didn't go well. But they left, so it didn't matter. Nevertheless, this is the important point. They worshipped him. They knew what it's like to worship. Do we? Do we know what it's like to worship God? In the first century, it's easy. We're used to seeing pagan rituals in the temple where they'd do all their different rites. We're used to seeing what worship was like in the Jerusalem temple. It was easy for them to understand the concept because they see it. What about us? Do we see what worship is like? Well, this is actually our most supreme act of worship, the Mass itself. Because in it, it's not our ritual. It's God's ritual. In the same vein, we're not offering ourselves, we're offering the one perfect sacrifice, which is Jesus. Our goal is to unite ourselves with it, to give ourselves, like the Magi giving gifts. We give ourselves to it through voice, through song, through our actions, through our pondering of things. We are taught about who God is through the context of the Mass, which is part of worship itself. Worship teaches us about who God is. It also teaches us who we are and guides us to unite the two together. How do we, as creatures, worship the one God? The Magi teach us the brilliance of that. Because after prostrating themselves, after you doing him homage and offering their gifts, their final experience was one of joy. Unfortunately, Matthew's gospel doesn't give it quite the details that the Greek does. They were exceedingly joyful. Literally, the phrase is, they were joyful exceedingly. Kind of a weird way of phrasing it, but nevertheless, that's the literal translation in Greek. They left with such immense joy. Why? They met God, the true God, the one they've been looking for. And then they went home. So the Magi teach us three very important lessons. First, God is everywhere. God created the universe. We can see images and inklings of who God is just by letting our minds wander into the mystery of creation. He wants to show himself to us. We have to be open. The Magi were open. They were looking for it. They wanted to find it. We can too. We can be open to the will and mystery of God just by letting our minds wander into it. And we're also on a journey. A journey of discovery, a journey of discovering truth, a journey of discovering God who is truth. If we're willing to engage that, willing to allow ourselves to go as he directs us, to follow the star, to feel the whim of the Spirit, to allow ourselves to wander through life looking for the God who loves us, wandering through the events and character of life so that we reach our end goal, which is a true encounter with God. And then, while we're there, what else do we want to do? We'd want to worship him. We'd want to do him homage like the Magi. That is our goal. So let us be like the Magi. Let us learn from them and be guided in such a way that we experience the Christ child, the God made man, the one who loves us, that we may truly worship him, adore him, and leave with exceeding joy.